Second.
Okay, we'll do the roll call. Ross Davis. Bill Ray.
Here.
Yvonne Cruz.
Here.
Christina Miller. David Gibbous. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Here.
Okay. June meeting of the Recreation Commission has been called to order. First item of business is consideration of the minutes of May 12th. Any questions, comments? If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion that the minutes be approved.
Motion's been made. Do I have a second? Motion made and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say, verify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Next item, public comment. Any members of the public here wishing to come forward and discuss? No members of the public are recognized or wishing to appear. Next, we come up with unfinished business. Legacy Park, June 21st. We're in front of City Council.
And just to remind you, what's going before City Council is the recommendation to name the park Legacy Park. You all asked the Governor's West group to come up with a policy for, really, I want to use the word vetting, but for taking nominations and vetting nominees to go in the park. So I haven't heard back from them. I'll follow back up with them. But that part's not going to council. I will tell council that you all asked them to come up with that, and that that policy will come back to you all, and then it will go back to council, and to allow Governors West to be the organization that once the policy's in place and approved by you, Governors West will be the organization that vets them and approves them to be included in the park. Did I remember all that right?
Yeah, actually, when it comes forward, will they be, so Governors West will come up and make recommendations. These are the ones that have been vetted pursuant to this policy, and these are our names. Then does that then go to the City Council?
No, I think what you all asked them to do was to come up with a policy for taking the nominations, which they did have a little checklist of criteria. You asked them to solidify
Correct.
That.
Right.
And to come up with a policy for vetting those nominees before they just recommended them.
Okay.
And that it was okay with that. You didn't expect them to bring those back here for the nominees. You want to approve the policy. You didn't necessarily want to approve the nominees.
Correct.
That the Governor's West group could approve those nominees in accordance with that policy.
Correct.
I'm hoping to get council to approve that same thing. And if council determines that they would rather have the final say, we'll do that. But I'm hoping to get council to approve the same thing that you are.
I think the council will likely want to retain ultimately the it'll come up as an agenda item, usually on consent, but they're going to want the authority to actually to take the, to justify the authority of the Governor's West and protect them and say, no, the City Council is the one that made the decision,
right.
Ultimate decision for this, based upon this recommendation and these policies.
When we take the proposal, when we take the renaming, I'll tell them what you all have asked the Governor's West group to do, and ask for council's direction on whether they want to be the final authority on the naming, or if they want to designate Governor's West group as the organization that will do that. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. I kind of want to piggyback on what Bill was saying. I don't think they should have the final authority to just, at will.
Well, so that's okay. So I need to hear that. If your recommendation is that you would rather that council be the final, that they make a recommendation and that council be the final approval, then
right,
correct.
So how about one of you make a motion that that's what you recommend and take a vote on that, and then that way I can say that you did that in the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in an attempt to get it right, I'd like to offer a motion that the final authority for approval for additions to Legacy Park not be made by Governors West, but be made by City Council.
Correct. Do we have a second for that motion?
I will second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Call for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, like sign. Motion carries.
So, final authority for approval would be City Council. Recommending agency would be Governors West.
Correct. I think also in the long run, that protects Governors West.
Okay.
Okay, then moving past unfinished business, moving to item number 6, staff reports.
So just to give you a project update on a couple projects, the Art Heart project is moving along. We are now at the point where we're putting in landscaping and sod, all the hardscapes in place. The parking lot is pretty much designed. It'll be the last thing constructed, and we are planning the Art Park grand opening to be the also be the centennial celebration. Other projects, the Fort King National Historic Landmark project, it is in the RFP review phase. We received RFPs from 4 contractors. And because it's in the review process, I really can't say a whole lot about that process, but we will be having presentations by all 4 of those proposers and hopefully make a selection within the next month. And then we can move along with that project. We're hoping to start construction there no later than January 1st. So it's a design build RFP.
That's probably yours, yeah.
Lillian Bryant Splash Pad is also a design build RFP. We had the selection committee meeting. We had presentations by the 2 proposers that submitted on that project this morning. The RFP committee selected one of those firms. We'll enter into the negotiation phase now. And it looks like that project will go under construction no later than December 1st. It also is a design build RFP. The Discovery Center elevator project is complete. They've been messing around on the handrail trying to get it perfect, but for the most part it's complete, and we are into the final phase of that phase. This last few years has been a phase 1 of that project, which is really renovations of the existing building. The final part of that phase is exterior signage and kitchen upgrades. So then that project will be complete. If the foundation makes a decision to move forward with an additional capital campaign, it would likely then at that point be for an actual expansion to that facility, as opposed to, and there's really not much else to renovate within that facility. So. And I don't know that they are ready for that. It'd probably be some time before they're ready for that. Their next focus is on an exhibits component. That was the whole purpose of the renovation of the upstairs, is to make room and to make it ADA accessible so that they could put exhibits up there. It's now got proper HVAC and we're ready to go. The foundation is gonna fund the first exhibit. It was, approved up to $30,000 for that. The exhibit they're trying to secure is called The Dinosaur and Me. It's a electronic, you know, dinosaur, but electronic, mechanical, nothing simple anymore. It's not just static. It's not just a static display. It looks pretty exciting. I think it would be very attractive. Then we would do all the programming and stuff that goes with that in terms of school group field trips and walk-in traffic. So that's pretty much the highlights of the projects that we go. You know, you all are familiar with everything we got going downtown. The parking garage is well underway, still in design for the Osceola Trail. It's going to focus mainly around Citizen Circle and expansion of that site, and then really the rest of it is just really wide sidewalks. And the landscape, the streetscape that goes with that. And then the city is in the process right now of securing the services, design services for a Midtown master plan. And honestly, I'm not real sure how far along they are with that process, but the plan is to have a master plan that is similar to the downtown master plan, so that it can guide development of everything north of 40. And
skate park.
What's skate park? Midtown is north of 40, so it's still downtown, but it's, you know, south of 40 is the square, Citizen Circle, everything south of 40. Midtown is what's north of 40, and then you have North Magnolia north of that.
So we're going north how many blocks?
Pretty much up to about the train station.
That kind of like what they were calling the Gaslight District?
Yep, same area. They just renamed it Midtown.
Midtown. It's
supposed to be emulating San Diego?
I don't know, but Gaslight.
Kind of groovy. You know?
Right. Yeah.
See, if we got a downtown, that means we got an uptown. But then that means we got a midtown.
Right. and we don't have an uptown.
Yeah.
So. Not yet.
Yeah.
We got North Mag over past Midtown. So, skate park. We haven't really done a lot with the skate park because we had a couple other capital campaigns underway. We are at the capital campaign phase of the skate park. So we are in a capital campaign right now for the Fort King reconstruction project. So we wanted to wait till that kicked off. We're supposed to start meetings this summer to develop the capital campaign. I've brainstormed a few things in terms of grant funding that might be available. And then also, you know, we sit in a position of where to go in terms of the county and which types of facilities the county should assist us with funding. Haven't gotten real far in that conversation, but we feel like projects like the skate park are a typical example of the project that should be jointly funded by the city and the county,
right?
Because they're certainly going to have a county draw. So anyways, the next step of the skate park project is to develop what that capital campaign is going to look like. We have kind of, in preliminary conversations about it, determined that we need to first identify what might be our, we need to go after the larger donors first. And then, because we get a lot of comments about, why don't you just set up a GoFundMe account? It's a great solution to fundraising, but you don't want to give your larger donors the option of satisfying their need to be a part of the project by giving $100. So you have to put on a capital campaign that goes after the large donors first, then you open your GoFundMe account for, because you want the whole community to be able to participate at some level. So, and Max is still doing their fundraising for the art incubator at the train station. They also are in a campaign. It's not a capital campaign because the city's funding the capital improvements. Theirs is a operations startup campaign. They want to raise $100,000 to $150,000 to have in the bank. Their business plan shows that they will need about that much money in the bank to cover costs for the first 3 years until the program is fully developed, and then the revenues, it should be sustainable. But they know in that first 3 years of startup, they're going to need some money to support that, and so that's what their fundraising campaign is all about. And that's it on the project.
I have a question about the skateboard park. Eventually, will it have its own name?
Sure.
Okay.
Got suggestions?
Not yet, but I'll be thinking about it.
Probably be closely related to the major capital donor that comes in.
Possibly.
Do you have a rich uncle?
Yeah.
You can name it after him.
Right. And that might be a way to get the community involvement.
Sure.
So
yep.
Everybody submit a name.
Good idea.
Okay, parks operations.
So I guess I'll give that presentation too. I will tell you that Gabriel is our new parks division head, and he is going to start on June, I think it's 27th, if that's a Monday. So we're really looking forward to having him here. The parks operation group has been heavily involved in a lot of our project stuff. And I will say that's across the city. Construction costs are escalating rapidly as the economy turns around. And so this last year, we have found ourselves across the city in a position of having to do a lot of in-house work to supplement our budgets, because at the time we submitted those budgets, construction costs were this, and now just in a year's time, construction costs have escalated pretty substantially. So we're still trying to accomplish the projects by refocusing in-house resources. It's stretching us a little thin in terms of operations, but so far we're managing to get through it. I've been trying to fill some positions, had a couple equipment operator positions open. Looks like we're going to get those filled shortly, so that's really going to help us. We're in our busy season in terms of our mowing contractors are at full force. All those contracts have to be monitored. And then also, you know, I don't know if you've noticed the change in planters throughout the city. We've gone from, there's a lot of flowers. Our new landscape architect loves blooms. She loves color. She's doing a phenomenal job. Those downtown crews, the amount of pride in their work at this point, she's really got them invested, and it's been really good. And that crew is also very involved in the project, the Art Park project, in terms of putting in.
Who is the new LA landscape architect?
Elizabeth Corman. She's the city's landscape project manager. She's still testing for her landscape architect. I guess her stuff didn't transfer, so she did take her first test and passed it, so she was so excited. Her big challenge here, obviously, is she's from, let me think about this, I want to say Cleveland area, maybe? I think it's Cleveland. Her big challenge is going to be the landscape.
Plant palette.
Plants in particular, because it is so different. And it's interesting because she brings in all kinds of beautiful things and lays them out in front of us. And then Jeff, our guy that maintains all our stuff, says, never going to work. Go back. Do a little research. Right. So they're a great team, though, because she's got really good ideas. It's nice to have someone who, she's got a little bit more urban approach to things. And so a little bit different feel than what, I don't know if you've been over to Brick City, the courtyard they have there by the Brick City Center for the Arts. Mm-hmm. She got these trellises, the kind that attach to the wall, the metal trellises, and they're so nice looking. And even the city manager said, that's probably got to be the most urban thing that's ever happened to this town. Metal trellises, so that tells you a lot. So we're really excited about that. But she gets that we like blooms, we like the flowers, and so she's making a lot of changes to our landscape, but still trying to keep things reasonable because we understand those things cost money and take a lot of water. So that's probably it right now on the park side of things. So from a recreation standpoint,
let me reintroduce myself to everybody. My name is Alex, coming from the city of Homestead, Parks and Recreation. Lived in the city of Miami, worked 6 years city of Miami, 4 years Miami Gardens, and 3 years in city of Homestead. So I have 13 years experience in Parks and Rec. My degree is in Parks and Recreation. So it's my 8th day on the job.
Oh, really?
And I'm loving it so far. But the main things I'm going through right now is summer camp. Obviously, we're in summer. We're filling up pretty quick. I'm looking at pools, swimming lessons, trying to get our numbers up on our swimming lessons. And just today, I met with the community garden, so we got a lot of good stuff going on out there. So.
Yeah, we'd really like the community garden. It's getting a lot of recognition, and I've had some comments come in because professionally, they knew that we really emphasized that in the vision work that has come on, and that got some recognition around the state as a project. But now, just from the Facebook page and the word of mouth, there's other communities that are wanting to, you know, hey, how did these guys, you know, become a success? And it comes back into, you know, engagement of the local community, and you have to find that core group of people that are going to be involved, and then it's make sure they have the resources they need and get out of the way. The what we're going to have is, and it's been brought up before, is change associated with success. And so to be sure that we want this to go, okay, what we're doing right now is great. Where's our next one? And where's the next one after that? And so that we're, you know, three, how long did it take us from concept?
2 years.
Yeah. And then it took us a year and a half in just verbal concept to even sell the idea. So 3 years out, you know, so now where's the, you know, where's the next one?
And we're starting to see some of the pain of being successful.
Yeah.
Because now we're getting contacted by other organizations who want to do this. The veterans group at the Ritz is looking for some guidance and support on how, so I'm trying to hook them up with that core group of partners. The city can't fund those types of projects
right.
on private property, but we can certainly help to hook them up with the right partners. And so we're always willing to do that. There's a, but I don't want to get caught up in facilitating every single community garden either. So there's a balance, and we'll find
Correct.
It. It'll be painful for a minute, but this garden's going to grow. How many did they approve?
We got 24 more planter beds coming in now, and we'll have that before August.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be nice.
So we've got that. How many do we have right now?
We have 24, 25. That's about 50, and then we're going to have about 75 in total. Yeah.
75 total?
Correct.
Seems like that would fill up that whole area.
There's still about. And there's still no space on the other side too.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. So do we know? Yeah, we looked at it from a standpoint of when's this one full at 125.
I think once you go from 100 to 125, it should be pretty full.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if we look at our level of absorption, that'll mean by the end of next year, end of.
Well, I met with the ladies today and. These 25 planter beds are going to be for the start of the summer. Planting, they say, goes down because of all the insects and whatnot in the summer. So those 25 beds will be used until next January. And then after that January, we can upload 25 more. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, you know, we saw it. We recognize West Ocala is in a food desert. And while it's good out of... You know, how, you know, the size, the beds, and everything else like that. Maybe 1-2 tons of produce, even 2 tons of produce that may come out of there, is a de minimis amount of money for the actual real world needs of that community.
Definitely.
And that's what's cool is because if we can just facilitate, like you said, on public lands and public lots or anything else, and the point I'm getting is that if we need to be able to petition the city. Now, based on this success of saying, hey, acquire these dilapidated lots, and we're going to turn those into a community neighborhood in the heart of where it's needed, you know, now's the time to start getting
yeah.
that.
For so you know, and probably you need to look for this file.
Okay.
I did the research. I pulled up all the surplus properties in West Ocala, and Irie was looking at those, so that's why I'm saying he should have a file.
It's full.
Because now we are looking at more neighborhood gardens as opposed to you got to drive to it. It's mm-hmm. kind of like you have a community park and then you have your neighborhood parks. We actually, when we first started this conversation, we talked about a neighborhood garden. We never could really get the people to bite.
Correct.
And then realize we need to flip that and start with the community garden.
With part. A big visual window yeah. and everything.
We have quite a bit of surplus property, little pieces that will serve nicely as neighborhood gardens in West Ocala. So it's just a matter of this one, it's really a matter of knowing what how to do this.
It is.
And so we're gaining that knowledge through this. I'm going to tell you what I enjoy most about it. Every single time I drive by that garden,
Somebody's
there are
in.
People
yep.
out there, and
Definitely.
They're talking to each other. And
interaction.
It's a social opportunity mm-hmm. as much as
learning
you know,
experience.
And I can tell you right now, we have a department garden that we've never done the first thing with, other than put the plants in the ground the first day. But other people have, and there's conversation going on, and whether you use that produce yourself, or you're handing it over to somebody else?
And they showed me those two boxes, and there's cucumbers growing out of there, and a bunch of different stuff. So it's awesome.
And Julie Johnson got one, and I don't think she's ever planted anything in it.
Let me tell you, they're all filled with different vegetables, and it's incredible. So
just so you know, Irie is still involved too, and he said he will stay involved from a community aspect. He's out there. He's got ownership in that project. He's still going to be heavily involved in a lot of what we have going on as a volunteer. Man, we made sure he was stroking that paperwork before he left. But, you know, he cares about this community, so he's still going to be involved.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's out there, and if there's an empty plot of land, he's planting it.
Wow.
Or making sure that someone gets it planted. And we've told him to take that initiative with there's a city box, there's a recreation parks box, and then there's a Julie box. So he knows to keep them planted, and he'll hold people accountable out there, so he can be out there a lot more than we can be out there, obviously.
Is there a sprinkler system, or how does it get watered?
There's a shed in the middle, and everybody who owns a box has a key. They have the access to that whenever they like, and they just get the little head, and they start spraying the water. There's different spigots, so.
Yeah, they grab, there's, for every two boxes, there's a pole that has a spigot on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you just take your hose out there and hook it up, and you can water.
Okay.
But we didn't sprinkler the actual individual boxes. You got to do it with it. And the garden tools and all that are stored in there.
Soil, everything.
How much does each box cost?
I think it was $75 each.
That's what the person to builds to own
to
the
build,
box.
To build it.
Oh, to build it.
If you
want to
own it, it's $10. Correct.
A year, a month?
Yes, a year.
A year.
12 months.
Oh. Very reasonable.
And what
they're
looking for is, one of the things great is, in the community to bring out, you know, I did with Ray and Associates and others, but is to sponsor them for families that need them and they don't have the $10 or something. You know, what company, what business group that, you know, engineering firm, planning firm, surveying firm, legal firm, dry cleaning firm, brewery, bikes, I don't care. You know, you can come up with $100 and sponsor 10 of them.
And we had quite a few people that did that the first day.
Yeah.
People that were out there at the site wrote checks for $50, $100 and said, and some are writing checks to help build more boxes.
Right.
Obviously, if we're leasing it for $10 and it's costing us $75, it's costing us to put a box in. Yeah. Some of that funding came, especially the first round, came from the health department. They recently got another grant.
Yeah, the $2,000 they just got now was from a church donated. So that's what they're paying for, the next 25 boxes. So
that's great.
Yeah, definitely.
So a lot of community support for it.
And then, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they got money from the Lowe's, from Home Depot for the fencing. So everybody's pretty much helping out.
Get them engaged. Make sure that they're recognized publicly. And, you know, St. Augustine wants to come down. They have a the Lincoln area of St. Augustine, you know, West St. Augustine, got engaged with them, and they're, you know, how'd you all do it? You know, you know, St. Augustine's looking around saying, same demographics, same, you know, hardship areas, disadvantaged area. How'd you all, you know, we've been trying for 6 years, and we can't get it. What did you all do? And so they want to come down and see, and it, you know, see a success, and that's what we need to show is the successes. It's a tendency to show failures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, that's basically it. If you guys ever need anything from me or ask any questions, I'm always here, and I'll give you all my cards as soon as I get one. So.
Okay. We did have a couple other key hires. I'll just say Alex's first day on the job was the day summer camp started.
Mm-hmm.
Also on that day, we started two other people. One is a recreation coordinator who actually works out of this office. She's kind of we throw everything at her that nobody else has time to do. So she assists the marketing group, she assists the events group, she assists the recreation group, and she helps do program evaluations. And then we also hired Darren Williams, who is a local guy, to take the recreation supervisor job at Lily and Bryant. He also started the day of summer camp at Lily and Bryant, that is staffed with nothing but seasonal people right now. So he and Alex met at Human Resources. Mm-hmm. He said, I think you're my new boss.
Yep.
So it was a crazy day that day. We had a lot of staff over at Lily and Bryant trying to help check kids in while they were getting their orientation through HR, and a lot of craziness. But it speaks well to their professionalism that they've been able to pull things together and put off an organized camp when they started the day of it and weren't involved in the planning of it. So we've been really proud of them. So I can give a special services report too, since Terry is out with an allergy attack.
Oh no.
About something. We're not sure what she's allergic to. Maybe us. I talked a little bit about the art park and the Max fundraising that's going on. And I talked about the Discovery Center project. Discovery Center has three camps this year. Two are all summer long. Those camps are at capacity already for the whole summer, except for I think 3 weeks that still have a couple openings in them. So they filled up pretty fast. I think our numbers at the other two camps are about 75 kids at each camp so far, and that number will increase over the next probably six weeks, and then it'll start to drop off again at the end of the summer. But so we're serving about 150 at those two camps, and then over here we have I think like 60 total between the two camps. That outdoor camp takes fewer because they've got to load up in vans and take off. But we did try a new camp over here too this year for she's never taken kids under 8 years old before. So we tried a new camp, but only 1 week each month. And it was only a half day camp for 6 to 8 year olds. She hasn't had the registration for that. And so we had some conversation about what's driving that. Typically parents work or they don't. So if they work, they need every week and more than half a day.
Right.
If they don't work, they don't need all week. So we're gonna rethink that, probably not for this year, but maybe the next year, to do maybe 1 day a week or 1 day every other week. Parents might wanna put their kids in a day long program to have a day to run errands or whatever, give the kids something to break up the monotony of being at home. But they don't really need daycare services or week-long camp services. So we'll rethink that one and keep going at it. I think that's it as far as special services. I can't think what else is going on. We do have one other new hire for the administration group. That's under Michelle. And I don't know if we've firmed up who we're hiring on that yet, but we're hoping to narrow it down pretty quick.
You said with tennis and training that you were going to send some staff down to?
That training will be in August or September. We've talked to, it's actually Welch,
mm-hmm. Welch
that
tennis.
Puts that tennis, that program on.
Right.
We've called them down to look at the sprinklers. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to lower those sprinkler heads. We've had some complaints about them being raised, and even though they're not in play, they're just not all, they're not in great,
they're not right.
Right. So we're gonna probably, if the price is right, bring Welch in to fix all that for us. If it's not, we're gonna end up doing it in-house. But and so in that, those conversations, we talked to them about the clay court tennis maintenance school that they do, and so we're going to send several staff to that. Oh, that's a project I didn't hit on. Sorry. We have a contract finally for design. We're going to be renovating the restrooms and the courtyard area. That it's a, like a, right now it's like a cobblestone sidewalks, and there's pitched and sloped. It doesn't meet ADA.
At the tennis facility?
Yeah,
it's been constructed over the years with some, most of it's concrete, but it's
got like
different materials, different, you know, some footprints, and needs to be reworked.
Yeah, and the slopes aren't right for what we need. So we'll do that at the same time. So we're moving forward with that project too.
That's good. I mean, the amount, when we looked at that as far as the amount of public play, we were at, the facility was at capacity before we enlarged it. We enlarged it, and it's immediately at capacity.
Mm-hmm. And we knew that would happen,
yeah,
for sure.
And which is, you know, good. Now that, you know, it's going to be a matter of time before, probably sooner than later, that you know, there's the request to come in and take the remaining two hard courts, probably, and just go ahead and convert them and make that an all clay facility, and then we look at possible expansions, maybe at Tuscarawas or, you know, another one. But it's Ocala still is continuing to, you know, to get recognition at the state level as being one of the, you know, the top tennis communities in the state of Florida. And you know, what spun is now, you know, with Fort King really taking off, now we also have in the private facility club membership. Golden Ocala now with their youth program is also at capacity with about 120 kids there registered for a youth program. You realize that they're going to come out of the youth program and be young adults. And it's, you know, it's, you end up, communities get branded by what's the success in their community. And it doesn't come from the top down, it comes from the bottom up.
Yep.
And we are getting defined as one of the elite tennis communities in the Southeast United States.
Well, and even our public hard courts, I've had tennis court surfacing companies that'll come in and give us proposals. They just cannot believe how many free public tennis courts we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and they get a lot of use.
They do. I mean, the big break for people, again, that don't really understand is most of the youth, the high school and everyone, their matches are held on hard courts. Mm-hmm. The seniors who will pay for a facility, pay an annual membership, pay to play, they want to play on clay. And so it's a revenue generation for for attracting outside residents that are really, you know, for a long time, you know, if you wanted to play golf, there were communities in the United States that you moved to because of their golf courses. Ocala is getting recognized as that, as, you know, if you want to play tennis, this is one of those communities that you want to move to.
Maybe that's why Kevin Costner's coming here. Mm-hmm. Maybe he likes to play tennis.
He actually does. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be in one of the he's going to be in one of the private clubs.
You mean he's not going to join Fort King Tennis Center?
If you look at the,
maybe if we renovate the bathrooms.
It's it. Yeah, we'll work on that. Yeah.
Where is he going? Down below too?
No.
It didn't say.
Is this in the newspaper? I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, it's in the newspaper.
Oh. Today?
No, it's been a little while. Just said that he was looking to retire to a community that was friendly, and that was pretty much the gist of it. He said it in, right, he said it in words that he didn't just use the word friendly, although that he did use that word. That's the gist of what he was going for, is not so hectic, not so busy, friendly, down-to-earth community. And he loved where he was.
How did he put it? In a way, he wanted to be able to go out in public without being
bothered. That's one of the things that's
in here.
So probably John told him about this area.
Yeah. John told him, "Don't worry, they won't even recognize you."
Yeah. I wanted to say something like that.
Just put a hat on.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay, comments by board members? Hearing no comments, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carries.
All opposed, stand and enjoy yourself.
That's right.